Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's begin by joining together in that quiet, still space within that we all share. If it's helpful to take a few relaxing exhales, doing so if that feels right. And allowing our awareness to settle on our sense of willingness, our feelings of willingness. That's all we need for massive miracles. And imagining in your mind, turning to the Holy Spirit and offering that willingness to the Holy Spirit. In this holy instant, we give to you, Holy Spirit. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. And if we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And taking a couple of mindful breaths, and with the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. Again, welcome everyone. I think a few folks joined in after we began the meditation. Welcome. We will be picking up where we left off last week, and if you have the Sparkle edition of A Course in Miracles, that will be on page 295 at the very, very bottom of the page. It begins with Shine on Your Brothers. If you are following along in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is Chapter 12, Part 6, Paragraph 53. And in the hard copy of the book, that's page 248. Again, that's the original edition. It also begins with Shine on Your Brothers. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 252, paragraph 9. So the section that we're in is called Finding the Presence. So as always, I'll just read a paragraph and pause, and we'll talk. Shine on your brothers in remembrance of your Creator, for you will remember him as you call forth the witnesses to his creation. Those whom you heal bear witness to your healing, for in their wholeness you will see your own. And as your hymns of praise and gladness rise to your Creator, he will return your thanks in his clear answer to your call. For it can never be that his son called upon him and remained unanswered. His call to you is but your call to him, and in him you are answered by his peace. So we'll pause there for a moment and see if anybody had anything come forward. A couple things stand out to me in this paragraph. First off, that the Course is really clear that when we ask, we're answered. When we give that willingness, that recognition of willing to see truly to the Holy Spirit, we're instantly answered because this is already done. Again, we're already healed. The problem is that we aren't necessarily open to accepting the answer in that moment. So if it feels like prayers ever go unanswered, and again, I feel like I'm digressing if I get into the different types of prayer, because there's a difference between asking for something of the world versus just offering willingness or offering thanks for who we truly are. But essentially we're always answered, and that's what this paragraph is saying. He will return your thanks in his clear answer to your call. So it's these witnesses that show up when we are turning and giving our willingness to the Holy Spirit. We can have experiences, and I know that we've all had these on the call, of witnesses showing up that solidify our choice, that build our trust in the Holy Spirit. And just like when we turn to the ego, there's witnesses that show up that justify that choice as well. And Deidre and I were chatting before the call began. I wrote a blog post recently, and I didn't name Costco on my blog post, and I'm comfortable saying it here, but I had this experience there of already, so prior to going to Costco, because I shop there, I was off. I had chosen for the ego because I lost my peace and was just kind of in a little bit of a funk about something. I don't even know what it was. Went to Costco, and this experience happened there where, long story short, I had to make a return. I found out that my return created food waste, like they were just going to throw out perfectly good food that I was returning, and I got upset about it. And it was a really clear indication to me, because I had been so peaceful, that subtlest, tiniest little choice, not even recognizing that I chose for the ego again, there was a witness that showed up to prove to me that, oh yes, you know, this world sucks and there is wastefulness and there is hunger and starvation that could be prevented if Costco didn't throw out this perfectly good food. So it's always that. It begins with us, which teacher we're listening to, and then we have those witnesses that show up that justify our choice. And it works for the ego and it works for the Holy Spirit. So I hope that's clear. Did anything come up for anybody in that paragraph?
Well, I was, just before I came on the call, I was watching the Long Island Medium. My daughter mentioned her when I talked to her on the phone earlier, and she said, Ma, you ought to watch it. She's really good. And this first line, shine on your brothers in remembrance of your Creator, for you will remember him as you call forth the witness to his
creation.
Well, that's literally, she went to a prison, a woman's correctional prison, to do readings. She just got this notion that she should do this, and she did it. And there was a very young girl, you know, in prison, and she literally was shining on that girl. And this was a tough-looking kid. I'm not kidding. She had lost her mother when she was 3 years old, and her mother came through Teresa. I tell you, it was the most beautiful thing I have ever experienced in my life. I mean, she was literally shining on her brother.
Wow.
And this shut-down little girl, by the time this thing was over, I was in tears. I absolutely was in tears. I never saw anything like it. It was just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Her mother died when she was 3 years old. This kid has been on her own. And,
wow. You
know, by the time Teresa got through with her, she felt so confident that she was no longer alone. It was beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. That's beautiful.
Oh, it really was. So shine on your brother. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and remembering
the light
too,
that came back to her from that child.
Right. Remembering, too, that we can't, and I'm just adding to a point of clarification, that we can't shine on our brothers by ourselves, that it's always, you know, and depending on what spiritual pathway you're on, you might use different language, but in coarse terms, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us to shine on others.
Now, this is exactly what this is exactly what Teresa said. She prefaced before she even sat down with these people. She said, "Spirit is going to come through me. I have nothing to do with this.
Beautiful.
I'm just letting this happen."
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that because it's like, you're not in control of what comes out. You are just the instrument that is allowing That's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in our choosing, whether we choose to be spirit or ego, that's what will come through. And right before this call, ironically, my mother had me in quite a tizzy. And there's no coincidence that I joined this call tonight, and I don't know your name, the woman who just spoke about the woman in prison.
Paula.
Paula?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Cole.
Hi, Cole.
That, what you said just shows me the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, literally in an instant, my mind went from ego craziness to, oh, right, there is another way. And I'm having a hard time putting it into words, but basically transforming the dream.
Yeah.
What I thought I saw half an hour ago, I have a different job to do. I have a job to do tomorrow, and that is to be, you know, an instrument of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, but that's my job.
We don't know.
But
we
you
don't
aren't
going
to do it.
Right.
That's the thing. You aren't going to do it. And that's
right.
What Teresa was saying. She's allowing that to come through her.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get
mm-hmm.
it.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and read the next paragraph. Children of light, you know not that the light is in you. Yet you will find it through its witnesses. For having given light to them, they will return it. Everyone you see in light brings your light closer to your own awareness. Love always leads to love. The sick who ask for love are grateful for it, and in their joy they shine with holy thanks. And this they offer you who gave them joy. They are your guides to joy, for having received it of you, they would keep it. You have established them as guides to peace, for you have made it manifest in them. And seeing it, its beauty calls you home. So no one enters heaven alone. We all are doing this for each other, for the healing of the sonship, as the Course refers to. And I love this paragraph, that everyone you see in light brings your light closer to your own awareness. So, that's just, I know we can all relate to that. When you have those moments of just being willing to see someone in truth, what does that do? But it you have that peace. You have that recognition for yourself.
I love the sentence right after it, that love always leads to love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That struck me. The first sentence, or the first part, children of light, and love leads to love.
Mm-hmm.
This is good stuff.
It sure is.
I love, too, just how it always, the Course refers to us as children. We think we're these adults that know what to do and how to be, and we are little children of light. Next paragraph. There is a light which this world cannot give, yet you can give it as it was given you. And as you give it, it shines forth to call you from the world and follow it. For this light will attract you as nothing in this world can do. And you will lay aside the world and find another. This other world is bright with love, which you have given it. And here will everything remind you of your Father and his Holy Son. Light is unlimited and spreads across this world in quiet joy. All those you brought with you will shine on you, and you will shine on them in gratitude because they brought you here. Your light will join with theirs in power so compelling that it will draw the others out of darkness as you look on them. So I'll pause there and see if anybody has had anything come up, any sentences that stand out to you, any examples?
This last line. Your
yes.
light will join with theirs in power so compelling that it will draw the others out of darkness as you look on them. That's exactly what was happening on that program.
That's awesome. Yeah.
This child was being drawn out of that darkness. And it was, I mean, the light was so bright. It was just beautiful.
That's awesome.
It was compelling. That's the word.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you realize this, but everything you're saying, you're helping to heal my mind right now. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's how these calls work. This is why we show up every week, because we help each other.
This is literally, I just wrote that I shut down, and I feel like I'm that grown-up, the mother, and the little girl in one, but as I'm on this call, I am fully embraced in the light. It's in me. It's around me. I swear my kitchen is brighter than it's ever been. Huh. Okay.
And that's real. That is real.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's like that for all of us, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just an example. Last week's call, now I can't isolate the exact event, but of course it's pitch black outside, and there was something in that call that just hit such a common chord with me. I looked outside. I almost felt as if it was like high noon. You know, like there was light out there. And if you think about light, there always is light. Even in pitch darkness, there's always a small amount.
Right.
It just was, I have to echo your comment about these calls. I just was so taken with that. I look outside. It's 9 o'clock at night, and the sun is out. You know?
I love it, and that's a perfect example of how with doing the course, we're starting to use a different set of eyes. We're starting to use a different vision. It's a vision that's never left us. It's in us completely. We've just chosen to forget about it, and this is what we're remembering. This is what we're remembering that is already there. It's that different
vision.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You know, I think that in the early workbook lessons, he talks about the light episodes. You will have the light episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and sometimes I read that and think, well, I haven't had any light episodes. But, yeah, sure, we all have.
Absolutely.
That,
he talks about that.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, you don't necessarily have to see specks of light to have light episodes.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like a physical representation of light. It's a feeling. It's you just know it. And I know, Paula, you've experienced them. Like, I'm downloading that right now. You've had light episodes. You just haven't had them the way that your mind would expect you to.
Absolutely. And I think it's more of an inner experience.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to find that. That's my homework. If you know the page, because I was just talking about it, I don't know, I think last week, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I was talking about a light episode I had almost 20 years ago before I even knew about the course. I think I knew about Marianne Williamson, but that's it. And I didn't know what it was until much later. I guess perhaps it was the light episode.
Yeah.
It's lesson 15. It's page 25 in the workbook lesson. My thoughts are images which I have made.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paula.
I went back to the beginning a few weeks ago, so I'm back on lesson 10, so I'm 5 away. I'll get there.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Great. How about we read another paragraph?
Yes.
Awakening unto Christ is following the laws of love of your free will and out of quiet recognition of the truth in them. The attraction of light must draw you willingly, and willingness is signified by giving. Those who accept love of you become your willing witnesses to those, excuse me, I'm going to read that sentence again. Those who accept love of you become your willing witnesses to the love you gave them, and it is they who hold it out to you. In sleep, you are alone, and your awareness is narrowed to yourself, and that is why the nightmares come. You dream of isolation because your eyes are closed. You do not see your brothers, and in the darkness, you cannot look upon the light you gave to them. In my, I think I've shared with you before that I jokingly say I grew up on the Foundation for Inner Peace edition because for a long time that's all that was available. And in that book, I have a lot of highlighting and underlying and all sorts of notations around this paragraph because to me that sentence where it says, in sleep you are alone and your awareness is narrowed to yourself, and that is why the nightmares come. You dream of isolation because your eyes are closed. For me, that was really helpful for me to be aware of when thinking about anxiety, because what is, and it doesn't have to be anxiety. You can name any problem that, you know, begins with a sentence, I think, you know, I'm dealing with blank. It's whatever it is. We're focused on this little idea of me, this lowercase m, me, and as we are doing that, what are we doing? But we're literally turning away from truth, from love with a capital L, away from the Holy Spirit, looking into this, you know, tiny little mad idea of being the separate self, and that is why the nightmares come. And so it was just so helpful for me to read that sentence in the context of thinking about why I was suffering from anxiety. It was because I thought, I think I'm Corinne. that idea of being Corinne is, you know, persistent, but also what I'm learning to unlearn. So that is something that stood out to me in this paragraph. What about anybody else? Anything coming up?
One sentence sort of strikes me. I don't really have any, let's see. Those who accept love of you become your willing witnesses to the love you gave them, and it is they who hold it out to you. That one caught me. Mm-hmm. And the beginning, I felt like I understood completely. Mm-hmm. And then I got lost.
Well, go back to, thank you for bringing that up. I'm thinking of the example that Paula gave.
Mm-hmm.
Those who accept love of you. So in that example with the little girl who had been suffering for a long time, accepted love of another and therefore became a witness of the love that was given because she was transformed. And in her transformation, you're then affected by that.
That's it.
She's been holding it out to you. So I see that as sort of encompassing the example that that Paula just gave.
I get it. Now, now that you gave that example, I see very clearly. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
Understood.
Anyone else? Another thing that just stands out to me, too, is how it says the attraction of light must draw you willingly, and willingness is signified by giving. So, again, this is never something that's forced upon us or, you know, nothing's going to be taken away. We're not going to lose or sacrifice anything. It's our own willingness to let those blocks be just, to let those blocks just fall away. It totally comes from our willingness and our desire to let our own blocks go.
Correct. I understand. And I actually wrote to a friend, let my eyes, ears, and voice be that of Jesus, and only that for the next 24 hours at least.
Cool. That's great.
We'll deal with the next day later.
Yeah, exactly. One day at a time.
One day at a time, please.
Okay, one moment at a time, really.
One moment at a time.
Yeah.
More exactly. Like it.
Anybody else have anything to add or share?
Yeah, Corinne?
Yes.
Can you,
So I'm that line that you just read was really powerful for me as well. And so you kind of touched on the attraction of life must draw you willingly, and that is through our willingness, then the Holy Spirit will speak to you. That's what I understand. But then the other part where it says the willingness is signified by giving, I think that is so to freely give what we've been given to others, is that kind of what it's signifying? And then to go to this other part that states that we see ourselves as separate, and that's where the isolation comes. Is that how you kind of get that too?
So I just want to make sure I understand the question. So are you looking sort of for understanding with that second part of the sentence, that willingness is signified
yes.
by giving?
Yes.
Okay. So what I get from this, and please, if other people have insights, please do share them. Willingness is signified by giving. So in other words, the attraction of light draws us willingly. We become willing to be open to the truth, to seeing the truth, to knowing the love with a capital L of what we truly are. When we give that, in other words, when we have willingness to see that in another person, that can awaken them, which can then, you know, reinforce the awakening in us. It's a giving of love. It's a giving of the Holy Spirit's vision through us. I don't see this as talking about anything necessarily on the level of form, although, yeah, I look at this as it's giving love. When we receive the love, recognition of the love that we really are, we can't help but give it to others. We can't help but be that conduit to let that love flow through us, and others are affected as well by that.
Does that
make sense?
Yeah. It certainly does.
Does anybody else have anything to add to that?
I this getting back to this little girl on this program.
Uh-huh.
When, let me see if I can get this out. She put a letter. When she came into that room, she didn't know what to expect. But on some level, she had a certain amount of willingness to be open with this medium. And she actually put a letter that she wrote under the cushion of a chair. The medium said to her, your mother feels that you do not believe that you can be heard, that nobody listens to you, you can't be heard. With that, this is what the medium said to her. With that, this girl says to the medium, I put a letter under this chair. Go get that. And on the front of the letter, she wrote, I can't be heard. Nobody will listen to me. So there's the willingness to allow. I mean, she obviously was willing, even though she looked so shut down and so hard, she was on some level willing to allow this whole thing to transpire.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It was like, oh, my God, that is amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool. It also stands out to me as an example of how powerful our beliefs are, because if we believe something about ourselves, like nobody listens to me, you know, what is that but a belief that's just feeding the ego? And so those witnesses are going to show up to then reinforce
exactly.
that belief. So that also comes to mind as well. But that's beautiful. And you're absolutely right. On some level, she had that willingness to let that whole situation, to be open to that that situation. Wonderful.
For some reason, too, Corinne, when you read the sentence, what came forward for me was like a willingness to surrender what you think you know.
Ah, yeah.
And let, you know, love shine through all of that. So it's like a surrendering of what you think should happen, what outcome you think might occur, and just allowing, yeah.
I giggle out of relation, just so everybody knows, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm a giggler, and it's out of relation.
Yeah, well, we're all, you know, we all relate, and I think that's where the giggles come in. So, yeah.
Deidre, I'm so glad that you said that, because that's, you're spot on. That's a really, really important point to add.
Well, I think I'm saying that because I just created a situation where that happened. And when I was willing to say, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to see this differently. Show me a witness for love instead of my, you know, need to control. What I received was just relax. Everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be willing to be open enough to receive that first.
Right.
You can't receive it unless you say, Holy Spirit, look at this and judging it for me.
Right?
So.
Yeah, and we can't receive it if we keep up the chatter of, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if it happens? We have to be willing to trust.
Exactly.
It's going to be exactly as it needs to be.
Yeah, and with Paula's example with the prison, I think that's just brilliant, because what is prison but a judgment on punishment? And Holy Spirit says there is nothing in this world worthy of punishment.
Uh-huh.
So here's this beautiful medium going to a place where the world would justify, as, you know, anyone who's in the confinement of the bars deserves whatever they get. But that's not the case at all.
No.
That's not the truth. So I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome.
Everybody's worthy of love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that anybody could do that is, you know, punishable.
Right. We're going to actually read a sentence. Now's a good time, I think, to read the next paragraph, because there's a sentence that's jumping out at me as we're speaking about this. And yet the laws of love are not suspended because you sleep. And you have followed them through all your nightmares and have been faithful in your giving, for you were not alone. Even in sleep has Christ protected you, ensuring the real world for you when you wake. In your name, he has given for you and given you the gifts he gave. God's Son is still as loving as his Father. Continuous with his Father, he has no past apart from him. So he has never ceased to be his Father's witness and his own. Although he slept, Christ's vision did not leave him. And so it is that he can call unto himself the witnesses that teach him that he never slept.
Mm.
My God.
Isn't that powerful?
That's the whole thing. We're not, we can't sleep because we can't pull off the separation.
Right. And so this is all a big, grand, just wild hallucination, and not even, yeah. The sentence that I wanted to highlight that you were just talking about, Deidre, right in the middle of that paragraph, God's Son is still as loving as his Father. Think about that. God's Son is still as loving as his Father. Despite anything we think we see on the news, any insane thing that another person seems to do, God's Son is still as loving as his Father. Looking through the eyes of the ego, certainly can't see that here. We don't see that here. We're going to see, you know, things that appear to witness for quite opposite that. But this is pretty clear that Christ's vision has never left him. God's Son is still as loving as his Father. He has no past apart from him. That's pretty powerful.
You know, Corinne, I was walking on the boardwalk today, and I was having a conversation with my daughter, and this whole Bill Cosby thing, you know, I take a look at that sometimes on the internet, and I'm so judgmental around it. It's just incredible. And working with the Course in Miracles, it's like that. I'm not listening to that voice. you know, but I had this feeling today when she was talking about it, like, come on, give me something more to go on here. Mm-hmm. Give me something that helps me to get beyond these feelings that I have about this issue with him and what he supposedly has done. And this paragraph is exactly what I needed. Mm. I could feel all that anxiety around what the beliefs, you know, mm-hmm. just melt away.
Right. Oh, beautiful.
That is an amazing paragraph.
It is an amazing paragraph. And it goes, another thing that comes up for me with reading this paragraph, because the body's eyes seem to show us witnesses that say otherwise, you know, that God's Son is certainly not as loving, anywhere near as loving
yeah.
as his Father. That's where that prayer that we've talked about before, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Every time we see that awful thing on the news or, you know, whatever it is that hooks us, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death. This is the quote. Nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate peace's coming. So what that prayer is saying is take this awful thing that I think that I see, let me not use it on behalf of the ego and just affirm that, you know, horrible things happen in the world, but teach me instead how to use this to let peace come. And what we're doing in that is how the Course talks about we have to deny our denial of truth. We've denied truth. We've said, you know, we've turned our back on it. We've turned away from it. We're learning how to deny our denial. So that is what came up for me when we were reading that paragraph.
I'm just always amazed at, you know, ask and it is given.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed by that because I sincerely asked in my mind today, you know, the logical mind gets in there. And that's the block, you know.
Right.
Logic
right.
is sometimes the block.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Logic is of the ego. The ego wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it thinks it knows.
Yep.
It sure does. Oh, beautiful. Does anybody have anything else that has come up that you'd like to share? Any questions, comments, insights?
A question, or sort of actually a block. I find when, from my own personal observation, when I come up with the word Father in the Course, mm-hmm. I have a reaction. And intellectually, I can understand everything that was just said, about Bill Cosby, and I can see it on a linear level, mm-hmm. but my heart is still closed off to that, to this part, this particular paragraph. My little mind is going, I want to change the word Father to, I like the Children of Light sentence better.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's okay. Think about the Father as being the light with a capital L. It doesn't, the
yeah.
language of the Course can trip some people up because it does use those, you know, masculine pronouns, and it has more of the traditional Christian-sounding language, although the meaning behind it is different. You can replace that word with a word like capital L, light, or capital L, love. That's fine. But it also could be useful to say to the Holy Spirit, okay, I'm having some issues with this word. I'm willing to look at this with you because if there's probably something there, it's probably something that is coming up because it needs healing.
Right. And, you know, it just came up as you were just talking. when you said put light there instead, that word, mm-hmm. then I thought, well, how can I put light and Father together? Because I don't want to eliminate the word. It's there for a purpose. And I just need like a mnemonic. And laughter came. Even mm-hmm. though laughter, you know, spelled with an A-U-G-H, it has this sound.
Oh,
so
cool.
I see laughter and Father as one now, and I'm going to make up a new word in the meantime.
Is it okay to make a comment?
Please.
Okay. I was just going to say, I offer angel classes from time to time, and we talk about gender a lot in the classes, because spirit doesn't operate from, you know, gender words, and a lot of the mind can get hung up on gender. So even if you want to use love, because we are all love universally, that might help also, because we're neither male or female, even though we're having these experiences in bodies. Gender is something that the little mind uses for separation.
Right. Oh,
so,
well said.
Well said is right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect. I will put
awesome.
Love there instead.
Yes.
Beautiful. Anybody else have anything come up before we move on? Okay, let's start with the next section. Attainment of the real world. Sit quietly and look upon the world you see and tell yourself, the real world is not like this. It has no buildings and there are no streets where people walk alone and separate. There are no stores where people buy an endless list of things they do not need. It is not lit with artificial lights and night comes not upon it. There is no day that brightens and grows dim. There is no loss. Nothing is there but shines and shines forever. I'm going to read the next paragraph as well. The world you see must be denied, for sight of it is costing you a different kind of vision. You cannot see both worlds, for each of them involves a different kind of seeing and depends on what you cherish. The sight of one is possible because you have denied the other. Both are not true, yet either one will seem as real to you as the amount to which you hold it dear. And yet their power is not the same because their real attraction to you is unequal. And I could easily flow into the next paragraph, but I'll pause there. So the real world, this has always been, again, very comforting to me, that the real world is not like this. It's not all this separation stuff. And I always thought it was funny how it says there's no stores where people buy an endless list of things they do not need, because how true. How true is that about us?
I just did that today.
Oh. So the second paragraph here is key, because it's saying very clearly the world we see must be denied, for sight of it is costing you a different kind of vision. You cannot see both worlds, for each of them involves a different kind of seeing. So we're learning, again, how to use the Holy Spirit's vision rather than what we call vision through the body's eyes, which is actually not vision. And this also relates to what I just said before about denying the denial of truth. We've denied truth, and so we need to learn how to deny what we've denied in order to let those blocks be undone. Questions or comments or insights? Anybody have anything to add to this?
Just in addition to what you said, Corinne, which was awesome, what came forward for me was the line or the lesson near the beginning of the workbook that talks about I see only the past. And that just came through really strong that, you know, when we're judging anything, it's because it's our past experience of it is what we're judging. That's what causes judgment to happen at all. So yeah, that just came forward, especially when we're talking about, you know, roles or things that we see in the world of form.
Right.
So
right.
Looking beyond that, looking beyond the past experience of that thing, or yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for adding that. And if I may, Nicole, just use your example from before about, you know, having a reaction to the word father. if you see only the past, our, you know, our reactions to things are always based, as Deidre's saying, on some past association. So that comes up just as, again, a reason perhaps to say, oh, something's coming up here. I must be seeing only the past. Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you. So I just figured I'd add that in there.
And
so
it's,
now,
thank you, Deidre. That was awesome.
Thank
you.
I guess, you know, for me, and I'm listening intently, all the paragraphs, right? Darkness and light, love versus the ego. Okay, so here's the scenario, right? You want to pray. I hope we all pray, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you call, and I think this goes back to the first paragraph, you call for the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, help me out here a little bit. I don't always hear the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So is what the first paragraph is saying, and what all these are saying, is that calling is the same as hearing or experiencing? What am I missing there?
Are you referring to calling on the Holy Spirit? Is that what
you
mean by calling?
Yeah, like Holy Spirit, come into me, help me, hear me.
Yeah.
Well,
again, the Holy Spirit is already in us. So to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, to come into us or, you know, it's
Can I use the word natural here? Because when I do this, sometimes at work I'm in an unnatural situation. And when I call upon the Holy Spirit, when I'm in that position that feels so unnatural to me, it's not that I get an answer so much as that the only way I could really say this is that the road clears. It things become natural. The fear
ease.
Is dissipated. You know,
a sense of ease.
A sense of ease comes over me. And to me, in those situations, I am so uplifted.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
then the
Paula,
day goes smooth. I'll be walking out into the model shop, you know, with these men that I work with, and sometimes I'm really fearful on my way out there. You know, am I going to get bludgeoned? And I'll tell you, when I bring the Holy Spirit into those situations, it's wonderful. It unfolds in a way that I could never have even imagined.
So
I think it's not that you're looking for a direct answer in so much as just being aware of what happens next.
That renewed sense of peace, that ease, that experience that we have, those miracles, those shifts.
It's an experience.
Yeah. It's an experience rather than, you know, like maybe a specific answer necessarily. But that sense of peace, that sense of ease, that's often how the answers come for me. So it's not necessarily, maybe at times I might feel like I'm sort of sensing something specific, but yeah, it is more of an experience of peace.
So
you
do feel it.
Yes, but, you know, there are times when perhaps I don't. I mean, I can think of many times when perhaps for a long time, you know, help, saying that to the Holy Spirit and thinking that or feeling that like nothing is changing. That's where trust comes in, that perhaps it's just that I'm not ready to hear the answer. Because that piece is always there. I'm the one that's blocking it. So if I'm not sensing it, maybe I'm not ready. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm just not ready, but trusting that it's been given. So there is a practice, at least for myself, that I found of just having to remind myself, okay, I might not be hearing it or experiencing any shift, but the Course says we need that tiny bit of willingness. I have it, and so I just need to hold steady and just trust that I'm going to shift. I'm going to sense that peace again. I'm going to, you know, have that little miracle when I'm ready to receive it, because it's there already.
Got it. Thank
Does
you.
Does that help?
Yes. Definitely.
Well, I think, too, what's coming up for, like, in the experience that I described to you before the call, Corinne, when I was talking about how the mind wants to occupy itself with doing things, miracles don't take any time at all. It's our mind that thinks, like, time is actually a real thing. That kind of it's like a trick of the mind. And so, like, when I know that, like, I'm a much more acute observer now of when I'm feeling peaceful or listening to my higher self. And you'll notice I use the word my higher self, because it is, like, God is within me, and I have been really using that language to, like, remove the separation from myself and spirit, because there is none. It's just that while we're in these bodies, we believe, like, spirit is this, like, separate entity, but it's not.
And, well, we've been taught this, that
yeah.
God is out there
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah.
I got such a sense of, you know, when you a sense of the goddess within me. How? What could we possibly have to fear if God is within us?
Exactly. And I think one of the very first paragraphs you read tonight, Corinne, if I'm not mistaken, it was talking about how your prayers are already answered. It's just whether or not the willingness to hear is present. Something to that regard.
Yeah.
So if I'm not hearing, it's just because I'm distracted by some other mind chatter that's going on. And it's not something that's bad or wrong. It just means I'm observing some other mind chatter that's there.
Right.
Sorry.
Adorable. actually, it's very funny that the dog is barking. It's a metaphor I've used many times in my life for my own, like, if I'm angry or upset, I say my inner dogs are barking, and my dogs are like big pit bulls in my mind. But earlier tonight, the first time I actually understood that God is within me, the shortened situation is my parents are coming to stay tomorrow. And normally the ways that I would find peace is through walking or going outside, doing external things, essentially. And this time I can't do that. I have to be within myself. And, you know, I had assistance with this, but the little light bulb went off, the switch clicked, and God lives within me, so I can handle this.
Yeah.
I'm not alone. God doesn't live outside of me. I feel as if I've been given such a gift that there are no words to describe what transformed. Like, I can never get away from God now, and vice versa. It's so inside.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
It's really cool. Like, I visualize things at times, and it's almost like there's a light. There's now a light shining where there was not. I couldn't see it before.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that sounds like a beautiful note to end our call. Before we do so, does anybody have any final burning questions or comments, anything that Spirit is guiding you to say?
Do we have to end the call?
I'm so thankful for this call, and you all, thank you, bless all of your hearts, and thank you, Corinne, for doing this.
Yeah.
Same, same.
Yeah, here, here.
Here is right.
Is there ever an after call?
No, no, there's no after parties. I'll think about it sometime. Maybe we could do something, but
have a great
I'm not
week.
One for after parties. I tend to go to bed early.
Understood.
Good night.
I'm sending so much love to all of you. Thank you, everyone, so very much, and have
Thank
a
you.
Miracle-filled week. Love you all. See you next week.
Thank you.
You
okay.
too.
Thank
love you back.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.